us because I got a lot of ground to cover. And thank you for all those that are joining us. Man, I get some good reports. You know, I got a report from Florida not too long ago, and it was just so precious, you know. They were there and had a number of people gathered and listening and spoke of some revelations, some things that God has done, was doing in their life. And then I got a report from another state up north. Trevor, you may know who I'm talking about, but they were listening to a sermon and a five-year-old got revelation. It's pretty sweet to me. I may be able to tell you about that soon. I'm going to ask permission for that one, but it's pretty sweet. I got such a kick out of it. But this series is Reverse the Curse. And I know there's a lot of teaching about the curses, but I want to tell you, we don't study the curses. We study Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you study Jesus, you're studying the blessing. You're studying the love and who He is. What He says and what He does reveals who He is. And who He is in the Bible is who He is to you. Now, that's very, very exciting. You say, well, I'm not real sure how that all that applies. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. He's in us to reveal Jesus, and He is your personal life coach, and He will coach you. And so that's why that this book is alive. It's not a history book. It is His story, but you let this book get into your life, and it becomes His story and your story, and it's pretty exciting, okay? Because He has a way of transforming your life. This Bible, this Word is powerful. And so I'm so excited about you. I want to tell you, so this week, next week, we're going to be, settling up this series. And so, I want you to try to catch everything. And like I said, I got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to kick off here. I want to tell you a little story about a young lady. This was actually a girlfriend in high school. And she was my head coach's head coach's daughter. Miss Moffitt, I just want to say that you're my English professor, and I still need your help. Okay. I can hear her shouting amen. And matter of fact, I call her Coach Moffitt, really. My head coach's daughter, named Debbie, and she knew in high school that she wanted to go into the medical field. And so, not only all the books there in school, because she was an A student, she was a great student, but she carried around this medical book, thick medical book, that had all kind of diseases and stuff described in it. And, you know, even then, her interest and her heart was just toward that, and she would study medical stuff while she was in high school. She tried to get me to look at a page, and I just, it didn't even register, okay. My focus was somewhere else. But I want to tell you something. She would study a disease, and lo and behold, reading through and studying and meditating on that disease and the symptoms and everything, she'd tell me, I think I may have that. I recognize some symptoms. Next week, next couple weeks, she'd be studying another one, and she'd say, I think I may have some of those symptoms. Now, I want to tell you, I thought it was real funny, It was later on, getting to know the Lord and some principles and ways of the Lord, that really clicked with me. And you know what it boils down to? It comes out of Scripture, but you know what it boils down to? We become what we focus on. Now, that's not deep. I know, because I got it, you can get it. And I know you get it, but we become what we focus on. Yeah. I began to see it in people's lives. You know, they would have a dad that was an alcoholic, that's tough. Or a mom that's an alcoholic. I want to tell you, that's tough, man. That's tough stuff. But I want to tell you, part of the journey of them being healed, sometimes they would park at some bitterness, and they'd say, I'll never be like that. I'll dedicate the rest of my life to not being like him. But it might not be alcohol. But I would find out in trying to help them that they were affecting their family in the same way that their dad did, even though they so despised him and were so determined to never be like him. They were like him in isolating and being distant and being obsessed with something else, not alcohol a lot of times, sometimes was, but not alcohol, but other things. And so what I'm telling you is, it may be a different fruit on the tree, but if the root is bitter, that fruit can show up in different places in different ways. Now, I've got good news for you. I'm not painting a bleak picture, because Jesus is the one that can change the root. He can set the root free. He can transform the root from being a bitter root to being a forgiven root and walking in peace and joy and love. And when the root's changed, the fruit changes. And a lot of psychology, even though I see it helps some people, I want to tell you something. The deep part of the Word of God is that He changes the root. And when He changes the root, the fruit will change. Okay, the fruit will change. Because the Holy Spirit is the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what that looks like? Like Jesus. And that's what transformation is. So that's very, very exciting. And so I want to tell you, we become what we focus on. That's why I'm telling you, when we meditate and focus on Jesus and the Word, then I want to tell you the transformating power of Jesus goes to work on the inside to the outside. There's a lot of stuff in church life, because I preach to different ones. A lot of stuff in church life that wants to modify your behavior. And sometimes they have a list of rules and regulations. Sometimes they have groups that meet and try to talk everybody into changing your behavior and work on it. And there's a lot of things, and there's some help in some of that. But I want to tell you something. Real transformation comes from inside out. And when the Lord changes the heart, okay, I want to tell you, your desires change. And when your desire changes, then guess what? That stuff that used to rule your life becomes weak. And so are you interested in the reversing of the curse? Because that's why Jesus came. And I want to tell you, He wants to set you free. Now, when I say that, I want to tell you, a lot of times Jesus sets people free. There's some immediate, sometimes it's progressive, but I want to tell you, it's also a lifetime journey. For the soul, see, you are a spirit, you have a soul, live in a body. The soul is a lifetime project. Because it's connected to this flesh. And this flesh, it's kind of like living in the promised land, but there's still giants in the land. And the giants are still there to be conquered. And just to remind you, like God tells us, do not forget me. What you learned in dependence on me in a daily way in the wilderness, that's the key to your victory in the promised land when it's flowing with milk and honey. Is that daily disciplined dependence upon Him, whether you're in the wilderness or whether you're in the promised land, it's the dependence on Him that makes the difference. I tell you, I got a lot on that, but I got to cover some other ground here. My wife encouraged me on that today. Romans 8:32, watch this right here. I just love this. He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son. This is talking about God, did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. He gave up His Son for you. He chose you over His Son. Are you listening? Yes. Now, if He loved you so much to give up His Son for you, that His Son would take all of your sin and all of your curses upon the tree, upon the cross, in order for us to receive all that He is, wow. Will He not also with Him, with Jesus, freely and graciously give us all other things? Do you see that? And so, in other words, let this sink in. If He gave you His greatest, will He withhold the least? If He gave us the greater, will He withhold the lesser? No. This is what He's saying. He loved us so much, He gave the great. And so he will not withhold from you the lesser. Now, I'm saying that because there's places that we speak in, and it's commonly taught in a lot of churches, Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins. Okay? And understand that there's grace for your sins to be forgiven, for you to receive the gift of everlasting life to heaven. But there comes a bump in the road because they don't go any farther. The same Jesus that saved, gave the same price for your sin to be forgiven, for you to receive the gift of everlasting life, he also paid the same price, more than enough price, for everything else that he has in store for you. Man, I nearly got knocked down on that. We've been preaching on it for 10, 11 weeks. I'm telling you, he paid for all the promises of God's word to be true for you. Now, that's not being preached everywhere. And so, as a result, some people walk away saying, well, I know that he paid for my sins. He wants me to go to heaven, give me the gift of everlasting life. But man, I'm having trouble over here. And I guess I'm on my own. You're not on your own. The very same power that raised him from the dead dwells in you. The very same grace that he paid for all your sins to be forgiven, he also paid for him to be active in your life to bring you into victory in every arena, every area of your life. Now, we have a tendency not to believe that. And so that's part of what this journey is all about. Hello, discovery journey. Is discovering what all he paid for and what all he has in mind for us. And so remember, we become what we focus on. So where's your focus? That's why we get in the Word of God. Look at Malachi 3:16. And man, I just love those. Those that fear the Lord. Now, fear the Lord means to love the Lord. Those who love the Lord talked often to one another. You know what they talked about? Him. I'm telling you, when you're around people that love Jesus, there'll be no question in your mind. You know what they want to talk about? Jesus. And when you're talking and fellowshipping about Jesus, I'm telling you, he's in the midst of it. That's what he said. We're two or three. Man, that's the lowest plurality. Where two or three are gathered in my name. He said, they're mine. He said, I'm in the middle of that. And you know what he's doing? He's loving on you. He's ministering to you. He's enriching you. How many times have you come across a brother or sister out there in the marketplace and you get to talking a little bit about Jesus, what the Lord said to you this morning, what the Lord did for you this week, and you walk away encouraged and exhorted? Why? Because that's the fellowship of the Lord. And so don't call it fellowship if you're just going to get around and eat nachos. It's all right to eat nachos. If you break bread or break nachos, chips, it don't matter to me. I don't think it matters a lot to him, but I want to tell you what it is. If it's real fellowship, it's fellowship in him. Yeah. Not the cowgirls. It's okay. Talk about the cowgirls. I'm not cowboys. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is that if you want to call it fellowship, let's get together and let's talk about him. That's what enriches. But I want to tell you a secret. Listen to me. He's listening. He loves it when you talk about him. Look at this. And the Lord listened and he heard it. Every single time you talk about Jesus, he's on board with that. You know what? He's listening, man. He's taking it in. Father's saying, oh man, they're talking about my son there, man. Come on. Huh? Yeah. Hey, he's listening and he hears it. And it's so precious to him. A book of remembrance is opened. Now, there's different books in heaven. I don't know if you know that. Different books in heaven. This book is called A Book of Remembrance. And he has an angel. Every time you talk about Jesus, he tells the angel, they're talking about me. Write it down. Because why? Because it's precious to him. So precious to him. He has it written down, what you say about him. Hey, look at this. Was written before him. Of those who reverenced and worshipfully love the Lord. Fear the Lord. Love the Lord. Get this now. And those who thought on his name. Hey, man, that's exciting. Because you know what that says? It's not just what you say, man. I want to tell you how precious it is to him when you think about him. See, in the mornings, you open up that word. Holy Spirit, I want to see Jesus in this. Would you show me Jesus in this word? You're looking through there. You're looking for him. You're thinking about him. Oh, that's the Lord right there. Man, that's what the Lord is. Man, I love the Lord, man. He's my provider. He's my protector. Look at this. He's my protector, man. Look at this. He's my rescuer. Hey, every time you think about him, it's so precious. He tells the angel, write it down. Write it down. He's thinking about me. You see, that's what we say in our term, loving you with my mind. I'm thinking about you. You know what that means? I'm thinking about you. I'm loving you with my mind, with my thoughts. That's, Jesus takes that very, very seriously. And so I want to tell you, part of the challenge is to learn how to meditate on him continually. It's enriching to you. It blesses the Lord when you do that. And it sets an atmosphere, get this, of the consciousness of his presence. And that makes a lot of difference in your journey. When you are constantly remembering and thinking. Now, I was a teenager when I first saw this. I hadn't heard this taught, but I saw it as a teenager. And what the Holy Spirit said to me is that, you know what? If he has a book of remembrance about you, let's have a book of remembrance about him. And that's where that book of remembrance that I started with teens back in 1980, that's where that started. And I want to tell you, it's just a little Encounter with God book, quiet time book, devotional, whatever you want to call it, God and I time, where you just write down what the Lord's showing, what the Holy Spirit's showing you about Jesus. You write down what the Lord's saying to you. You write down what you see about him. You know what? You have a blessings journal in there. Hey, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, because you know what that produces? A lot of joy and thankfulness and gratefulness in your life. And that's very, very precious to his heart. And I want to tell you, we become what we focus on. So if you focus on Jesus, he's free. You're cooperating to make you more and more like him. Is that great news? Look at Isaiah 26:3. And I'm bringing this out because there's a lot of fear in the land. Has been for a number of years. You know what? It's in churches. I know. It don't have to be, but it is. And so you know what? We address it. You know what? We're probably going to address it on this little ministry trip we're going on. Because it's all over. I hear from pastors, man, it's just, people are scared, man. Anxiety, they're afraid. Look at this. You will guard him and keep him. Does that look like a safe place to you? You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace. Does this mean a momentary thing? Just when everything? No. Continual. Constant peace, whose mind, see, that's what we're talking about. Who are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Your victory in this journey will be determined on where you focus. Because you're going to find out in just a minute, if you focus on yourself, you're a mess. You are a living mess if you focus on yourself. I can go ahead and tell you, you suffer with some discouragement and depression if you focus on yourself. Hey, we've already talked about it, but you want to focus on somebody else? Huh? You want to focus on somebody else, on other people? And I want to tell you, you get offended. You find yourself stumbling a little bit. Man, we deal with that every week, don't we? But I'm telling you, you focus on Jesus and see what happens. You know what the result is? Peace. Hey, joy. Anybody? Enjoy? Joy? How about the love? Joy. The peace. When their mind is stayed on you. Why? Because in keeping your mind on you, you're saying, Lord, I need you. I want to tell you, that's a great definition of humility, depending on God. I need you. I need you. I'm leaning on you. I'm hoping. My confidence is not in myself, not in the White House, but in you. My confidence is in you. And I want to tell you, that has an amazing effect. You know, that's giving heaven green light for everything he wants to say and do in your life. Don't you want to send that signal? Yes. Well, he's looking and he's listening and he can read our hearts. And so remember, in this series, one of the most important points is when Jesus is even bringing out about communion, the Lord's Supper, he says, remember me. When it comes to the bread, remember me. When it comes to the juice, remember me. Because when we practice remembering him, focusing on him, thinking about him, considering him, meditating on him, that's where belief comes. Hope lands in your heart, okay? Because you're reminded, he loves me. Boy, we're going to touch on that. If you get convinced on how much he loves you, there's very little the enemy can do. Amen. You know when he sneaks up on you is when you he fires a fiery dart saying, you're not loved. You're rejected. You're a failure. Nobody cares. See, when he fires that dart, and then he runs around on the other side and says, see the way you think? You ungodly. And he the one that sent it to you. See, he don't fight fair. That's the mind game. The battle starts right here. But when we practice remembering, guess what? We believe. When you believe, that's how we receive. It's not by your muscles. It's by your believing. It's by faith. We believe and we receive, or you've heard this a number of times, or we doubt and do without. Doubt's the enemy. Unbelief is the enemy. And this is the reason why we renew our mind in the Word, so that we will believe the unseen over the seen. That's why we renew our mind. We got to reprogram the computer. This is why you got to spend more than just a verse a day. I'm not against a verse. I'm just for a lot of verses. Okay? You got to saturate this computer. It's got to be reprogrammed. And you can't get in there and spend 4 or 5 minutes in one verse and check the box and say, I'm done, and then spend 4 or 5 hours that day pouring trash in. Because what goes in, what come out? Come on, computer people. What's the input? Well, I'm telling you, I'm not against you having a little entertainment or whatever. But I'm just saying this is the priority. And do you want your life to change, or is it okay the way it is? What direction is it going? Because I'm telling you, when you saturate your mind with this Word and you put your focus on Jesus, I want to tell you, you're headed up and up. Because he designed you to be the head, not the tail. And so we believe or receive or doubt, do without. So that's why we renew our mind, so we can believe the unseen. And so I want to tell you something. When you're in this Word, and man, he says to you, man, I'm your shepherd, and you shall not lack. That means that he's your shepherd, and it's his responsibility to provide for you. And when you see that, and you look at the bill and say, man, this thing, man, hey, come on, I need some money. Are you going to believe what the bill says, or are you going to believe what the Bible says? Well, I want to tell you, you got to reprogram your computer, or are you going to freak out? Huh? You get one of those soap opera phone calls. You know what I'm talking about. Drama club phone calls. Man, you get off the phone just as soon as you can, but hey, look, I know how you're feeling when you get off those. And so are you going to live the rest of the day by how you feel or what other people say? Or are you going to look in the Word of God? You're going to believe what God said about your day. You're going to believe what God says about you or what other people say about you. See, that's why we reprogram our computer. And so you can believe in the unseen. Because I want to tell you, it's just like this. Jesus has provided for more than your ticket to heaven. He's protected. He's provided for shalom, shalom. And man, that includes your well-being in every area. Man, I just summed up a whole lot in a sentence right there. But I want to tell you, you got to believe for that. But it's up here in the invisible. Okay? We live down here, but it's been provided right here. And the way we go from here to here is by faith. And so that's why you got to be in the Word, because it's the Word that sparks faith. Amen, Brother Tim. So we got to stay in and engraft the Word until we embrace it. until we make it with your name on it. It's not enough for you to, well, I know Pastor so-and-so, I know Sister so-and-so, boy, they walking in it. That's not enough for you. That can encourage you, but I want to tell you, that's not enough. You got to get in here and let the Holy Spirit write your name on it. And that's what I mean by staying in it till you embrace it. A lot of people don't embrace it. They just see it there, and they say, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll just bring it to me. No, he's already brought it to you through Jesus. And he's made a way. It's the way of God through faith. And look at 1 Peter 2:24 one more time here. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar, offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now I want to tell you something. This sums up. This is gospel right here. This is gospel. Because he personally took all of your faults, all of your failures, all of your misses, all of your achy breaky hearts. He took all of that upon his own body when he was on the cross. He took it for you. Why? That all of our sin was poured out on him so that we could receive who he is. He took all of our junk so we could receive his blessing. He took all of our curses, to put it in this series, he took all of our curses in order for so that we can receive his blessing. He paid for our blessing because he took your curses. All right, that's what Isaiah 53 says. And so this is real. He did this for you. And why? That we might be saved, that we might die from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. Now, some places will preach that, yeah, the punishment of sin, hell's been dealt with. Well, I want to tell you, hell on earth's been dealt with. Okay? He's also saved you from the power of sin. Because that's the power of the blood. And I know that maybe Dr. So-and-so or your family have told you, you'll just be like that the rest of your life. You're just going to struggle with that the rest of your life because you know your daddy did. No, I'm here to tell you something. Listen, he paid for you to be free from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. That sin's not to rule over you. And you say, well, why didn't it happen to everybody? Well, I want to tell you something. He gave you a chooser. Now, if you've been living a certain way for a long time, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I love you too much to not tell you the truth. If you've been in a situation for a long time, I want to tell you, somehow, some way, you've been cooperating with the enemy somehow. Some way. It may be simply through unbelief. That's why you may have to have your computer reprogrammed. Because you may have to unlearn some things that have been said to you early on, or maybe in some other churches or places. You may have to unlearn some things before you can learn what he says. Before you can agree what he... Well, my big mama said, well, my big mama didn't love Jesus. She made fun of my granddaddy because he loved Jesus. Okay? And so I'm here to tell you, just because my big mama said it don't mean it's right. As a matter of fact, coming about Jesus, she was wrong. Granddaddy was right. I'm glad I had granddaddy in my life. But man, he was a pastor, and he'd go preach at these churches, and he'd take me with him. And that little quart jar of water got me by them all-day meetings, man. But I tell you, I gained a lot from him. But I'm telling you, here's the deal. Okay? It don't matter what did Jesus say about you? What does Jesus say he wants for you? And that's what we got to agree with. That's what we got to embrace. That's what we got to speak. And so you just got off the phone with the soap opera and, you know, man, that stuff works on me. But I want to tell you, are you going to agree with the way you feel? Are you going to agree with what God says? Because I want to tell you, when you agree with what God says, it may take a little while for that emotional caboose to unhitch and get in the back where it belongs. But if you stay there, it will. And one of the ways to do that is by praising and esteeming and giving thanks and saturating yourself in the Word. This is vital. This is an important key. You got to understand that Jesus paid the price for all areas of your arena, all areas of your life, not just a few. And so he paid for every blessing that reverses the curse. I'm going to say a few things. I know it can affect people here and people on the camera. I'm not picking on you, but, you know, this was written a long time before where you are. Okay, this was written at the first of the year. I'm just now getting to preach it. If you've been given a bad diagnosis, Jesus has provided your healing. That doesn't have to be the last word. You let Jesus have the first word and the last word. If your family has a history of illness, Jesus has paid the price for that curse to be broken. And he's released through Jesus the blessing. I want to announce something to you, because I had a woman just this spring set in my house. You'll remember her being there. She was talking about all the troubles that she's got and the surgeries. And she's already said, I'm getting my sons, I'm getting my kids lined up for this too. Because it was in my parents, it's in me, it'll be in them. Now I want to tell you, I know there's a tendency, a human tendency. But I want to tell you, the cross is greater than human tendency. Aren't you glad that Jesus was so powerful, his power, the power of his blood, the sacrifice on the cross was so great that it breaks family curses? And so just because Uncle so-and-so or granddaddy or big mama had this, it don't mean you're going to have it. I'm going to announce this because of Jesus. You can be a transition generation. Okay? Hey, this doesn't have to be passed on to your kids. That's what the hope of the Lord is. If you're waiting on a medical test to come back, I want to announce something to you. Jesus is your peace. You don't have to let the enemy beat up your mind. You can put your mind on the Lord until you get peace. And so I have some people say, well, I tried it. It didn't work. Well, you didn't try it enough. Okay, because you got to yield and you got to surrender and you got to saturate yourself with the Word. You got to practice praise and thanksgiving. And I just tell them, you practice it until there's a release. Until there's a witness that comes from your spirit into your soul, that there's a witness that this is done. Because there's peace here. You pursue the Lord till you receive. You ask, seek, knock, A-S-K, until you receive. And when you receive, I'm telling you, it's on. And you know what you do then? You walk in it, you talk it, and you walk in it. You don't talk fear when the Lord's giving you peace. I want to tell you, it's voice-activated authority. And you say what God says about you. And I want to tell you, it's very, very powerful when that happens, because the enemy wants to come and steal it. He's a thief. Yeah. He'll want to come and steal it away. And he'll have somebody call you up. You know, you're going to be this and this. And I know people have died from that. You know, it makes me so mad people say stuff like that. Yeah. Don't do that. Speak life. Okay? So if you're waiting on a medical test to come back, pursue Jesus for peace. And you know what? His peace is greater than whatever the report is. But man, I tell them. They know. I tell them. Man, you can do whatever test you want to on me. I don't care. I ain't scared of a test. Because I'm trusting in Jesus. And if you find something on that test, it's just more for me to believe for. Because I'm moving toward victory. I had a cardiologist tell me one time, you know what? It's a miracle. I don't understand why you're here. You got a weak heart and you could go anytime. And I said, you mean I get to see Jesus earlier than I thought? It made me want to hug your neck. Boy, it blew him away. I had another one that looked in me deep in the eye and said, you know, you could die anytime. We don't know why you're still here. And I said, well, just look real deep, because it ain't no fear here. Ain't no fear. Man, I'm good to go. It's to my advantage. That'd be good. Hey, if you're battling it with a health condition, man, we got heart for you. We pray for you. But I want to tell you what happens. Jesus will fight for you. I got to tell you this. You got to let him. Because if you think you're doing it on your own, you know, I'm so smart. I'm so medically smart. I know what to do. This is what I'm going to do. You know what? If you're doing it, he's not. Boy, I know that sounds a little rough. If you're doing it, he's not. If you're working it, he's not working. What we're to do is to come to the place of faith where we rest in it, trusting him, depending on him, loving him, receiving of him, focusing on him, where we rest in him, and we're believing. Because when we rest, he's working. If you're working, he's resting. I want to tell you that it boils down to this. There's no illness or condition or sickness or disease that's stronger than the name of Jesus. Amen. And you know what? When a doctor tells you, well, there's no cure. Well, that's a lie. Because Jesus is the cure. And you know what? I want to tell you. I had a pastor ask me just recently, well, what if? What if they don't get healed? And I told him, well, they're a heaven of a lot better off if they're believing for it. Because if you're believing and trusting Jesus for healing, you're looking to the healer beyond the healing. And he's enriching your life in all kind of ways. And so I want to tell you, if it comes down to your healing's heaven, then I want to tell you, you've been a heaven of a lot better off in your journey by believing God. Okay, you may need to think about that one. It's all right. I've spent some time on it myself. No sickness or disease stronger than Jesus. You know what? We surrender, we depend, we lean on him, we trust in him, because this is what happens. To the place, embrace this truth, to the place that his truth is greater than medical fact. Amen. To the place where we lean on him, and no matter what area of your arena you're in a battle with, you lean on him and trust in him, to the place that it becomes his battle and not yours. Now, I want to tell you, when that happens, oh, it's good. Because when he's driving, it's like on cruise control. And you cover more miles and have more smiles per mile when it's his battle and not yours. You can stand back and praise and thank God ahead of time and watch the victory in him. Now, that's supernatural. But that's what he's got in store for us. So if you know someone that's fighting a health battle, I want to tell you something. I want you to have this picture in your mind. When I was a boy in East Texas, you know, we lived, you know, close to the creeks, rivers, and it was common for us to go snake hunting. I know. That's when it wasn't hunting season for anything else. Especially in the summertime, we'd go snake hunting because the creeks would kind of get down. Kind of low, and it was a lot easier to find the water moccasins, cotton mouths. Okay, the very dangerous snake, very poisonous. And man, when they opened up that mouth to strike, you know, that's why they call them cotton mouth. They're just a white. It's white. If they weren't so ugly, it'd be pretty. But I want to tell you something. Okay, I had a friend that got bit by one. And I want to tell you, he got turned every way but loose. They took him to the hospital as soon as he could get there. And they gave him antivenom. And I don't know if you know what that works. It's an antidote. And the antidote is a physical picture of the spiritual reality. And so this is why I want you to see this picture. When you look up antidote, it's antitoxin. They give you a shot to reverse the curse of the snake bite. Okay? To come against it, to counteract the poison of the snake bite. And so the antitoxin or the antidote is a blessing to reverse the curse. Okay, let me draw this out. The children of Israel, they were in the journey of the wilderness. They were attacked by fiery serpents. I don't know if you remember that story, Numbers 21. But they were attacked. I mean, they just, you know, now I want to tell you, the snakes were always there. They were always out there. But they didn't get attacked till they rebelled. Boy, that kind of speaks. When they rebelled against God, and I'm just going to tell you real quick why they rebelled, okay? Because I don't know how much of this I'm going to get to cover. Let me tell you why they rebelled. The Bible says they got discouraged and depressed for a long time. Now, I want to tell you, humans, Christians, believers, I don't care how super spiritual you are, you can get discouraged and you can get depressed. Yes, it's not a sin to get there. It's wrong to stay there. Because we have him. Okay? You put your focus on the Lord. You call out upon the Lord. You receive of the Lord. It's supposed to be a temporary, not a long term. They had a long term time, according to the Bible, Numbers 21, of depression and discouragement. And when they were depressed and discouraged for a long time, they began to speak it. And that's what happens to us. We begin to speak it. Now, I want to tell you something. You get discouraged in your heart. I want to tell you, the enemy don't know everything. Now, he's pretty good at what he does because he's been studying us for a few thousand years. So he's pretty good at reading signs. But he don't know what's in here. He'll just fire fiery darts. I'm going to just try this one. See if that lands. Okay? Hey, let me tell you something, really and truly. I'm telling you this. He can't read your mind. That's right. And so if you're discouraged and depressed and you begin to operate in the Word and practice the Word that this is the day of the Lord and I'm going to give Him thanks. I'm not waiting on how I feel. He's worthy. Lord, I love You and I praise You and I give You honor and glory. And He comes by and say, that one praising God, I'm going to move on down. Does that sound too simple? Hey, it's very, very important that we practice it. The children of Israel began to speak it. And when they began to speak it, I want to tell you, something happens when you speak it. Starts with the thought, comes through the speaking. Same thing about the way of faith. You see it in your heart, it's in your mind, you see it in your heart, you speak faith, it's activated. You speak negative, you speak darkness, you speak fear, it's activated when you speak it. Because when you speak it, the enemy says, we got a victim here. Come on. They're calling for it. They're saying it. Come on, they want it. I want to tell you, we're against sin. You understand we're against sin. We stand against sin. We're against sin for the same reason God's against sin, because it's destructive to your life. It'll destroy relationships. It'll destroy you. It's destructive. He's against it. He's for you. Wants your life to be blessed, not cursed. But I want to tell you, when you choose to sin, it's like you planting a target on your back. You choose to sin, you say, come get me. Come on, enemy. Fire your best shot at me. I want to tell you, you can't afford to let the enemy into your mind like that. And some of us, a lot of us, maybe all of us, have given away way too much of our mind. You ain't got that much left, so don't do that. But I'm telling you, we need to put our mind on the Lord. And so this is very, very important. So they began to speak it, and guess what? The serpents came out. And so I want to tell you, when you're negative toward God, about God, your situation, you're blaming other people. They blamed God and Moses. Now, a lot of it was directed toward Moses because, you know what? He was one of the closest to God, and it's a whole lot easier to blame him. Be careful. Who are you blaming? Man, I got a call here just recently. I can't tell you how soon because somebody figured it out. I got a call recently, and somebody in a mess, and their family's in a mess, and they're blaming everybody but themselves. You know what? When I hear that, well, it's my husband. You know, he's a mess. Well, you know, you're a team, too. Very well, maybe a little part on your part there. But when somebody's blaming everybody else but themselves, you know that's a wrong focus. And that's a miss. But they were blaming Moses. They were blaming God. The snakes came out. And let me tell you what happened. The Lord's our rescue. He's our way of escape. They came and some of them confessed to Moses, we've sinned. We've done wrong. We blamed God and blamed you. Would you ask God to stop the fire? Because the fiery serpents were biting the people and the people were dying. Bible says a lot of people died. There's a lot of people dying today that's outside of the blessing of the Lord. And they don't have to. But I want to tell you what happens. Jesus is our rescue. That's good news. And so the Lord told them, you put this bronze serpent on a pole. Picture the cross. The pole was a cross. And put this bronze serpent on there. And I can't say this for sure, but I saw it in Scripture about other things, but I think he had Aaron take the bronze serpent on the cross into the where the people could see it. And I say that because Aaron's the high priest. And we saw it happen in other ways, other situations, but Jesus is your high priest. But I want to tell you something. He stood between life and death, and all the people had to do was to look up at the cross and see the fiery serpent. And if they would look believing, look trusting in, depending on, leaning on, faith toward the rescue of God by the serpent on the cross, they would be healed and they would have life. And so I'm announcing to you, all that looked the look of faith, all that looked were healed. Wait a minute. All that did not look were not healed. They died. Now I want to tell you something. Jesus brings this out to Nicodemus in John 3, and he describes them in the same way that Moses had this bronze serpent on the cross lifted up. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up. You know why? Because when we look to Him, lean on Him, trust in Him, depend on Him, Jesus rescues you from the snake bite. And the snake is the enemy on this earth. He's your rescue. He went to the cross to release the blessing, to remove the curse of the snake bite in your life. Now, I can say that because you know what? Snake bites show up in different ways with different people. I don't care what the name of it is. I want to tell you, Jesus is the cure. And today, you can look and live by looking and trusting in Jesus. Now, your situation may be relationships. It may be family. It may be sickness. It may be emotional. It don't matter. For me to say Jesus is the answer sounds like a preachy thing to say and a real easy thing to say, but it's very, very true. And you know what? Jesus will give you immediate relief. Jesus will give you immediate hope. Now, I want to tell you, your journey may require a healing journey where you walk with Him to be totally set free. But I want to tell you, as you saturate yourself in Him and you focus on Him and you walk with Jesus, then I want to tell you what happens when you saturate your mind in the Word of God. You know what? Hey, His desires become yours. Yours become His. It's beautiful. And I want to tell you what happens. Hey, He walks with you, and the more you cooperate with His walking with you, then enjoying walking with Him, the freer you get. And so it's a process. It's a healing process. It's a lifetime journey. But I want to tell you, breakthroughs come. And it's so exciting. You know what Jesus said? Hey, I go to the cross because you're worth it. He went to the cross for the joy that was set before Him, and you're the joy. He went for you. He suffered for you. So He could remove from you the snake bites in this journey. That's your Jesus. And that's what He wants for you. And so I'm going to ask you to do this, because I know my time's run away here. See if I can squeeze anything else in on this, because I had that's about one third of it. Let me just read 1 John 1:9, because that's common in church life, and I want to bring it out on this, because when it comes to communion, a lot of churches teach that you got to examine yourself. And they tell you to look for any sin and every sin. But I want to tell you the context of this verse is talking about your approach to the Lord. So the main thing, He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for direction of your heart. The main thing He's looking for is that you approach Him in a worthy manner. It's not talking about a worthy man. It's talking about what your heart's saying. The Corinthians were blowing it, man. They disrespected the Lord in communion. They made a big mess out of it. But I want to tell you, Paul was getting on to him, but he said it's your approach of the Lord that's the main thing on this. And so I'm telling you to approach the Lord, and you know, the focus is not sin, it's the direction of your heart. If you get your heart in the direction toward God, I'm telling you, it's on, because He came for sinners. He came for those who know they have a need. People come marching in my house or marching in here saying, hey, I got it all together. I'm all right. I don't need anything. Well, you know, I can't help them very much. But I want to tell you, because Jesus said the same thing. I came for those who know they have a need. Now, I want to tell you, You come to Jesus today and you humble yourself before Him and you examine your heart. Because I'm telling you this, if you focus on self-performance, you're going to miss. You're either going to consider yourself righteous in the sense that, well, I don't have any need, I'm doing great. Or you may compare yourself to somebody else and say, well, at least I'm doing better than them. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's wrong in every way. Paul said, don't compare ourselves by ourselves. Your model's Jesus. And I want to tell you something. It's very, very important that you know what? You look to Him, not self-performance. Because if you go the other way on self-performance, then you'll say, well, I'm just a big mess. You know, I can't do it. I'm a big mess. No, I want to tell you, you're not disqualified. I'm going to announce something to you that don't sound very religious, but it's very Bible. Your disqualifications qualify you for Jesus. He took on the cross all of your disqualifications. Now, I'm telling you, your failure does not keep you from Him. You come to Him. He'll take you just the way you are. Okay? And He wants to change you. He'll do the changing. We do the seeking. He'll do the changing. So here's the deal. We don't walk with sin. See, that's a sin consciousness that's in a lot of churches. They focus on sin. Sin, sin. Is this sin? Is that sin? No. I want to tell you what the key is. It's your focus. You focus on Jesus. We walk with Jesus. We don't walk with sin. When I'm walking with Jesus, I'm very, very aware. I'm conscious of Him, His presence, His joy and His love, His peace. As if I'm walking through the journey here and peace goes away, I say, whoop, 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 hold on here. That's not the Lord. I need to seek the Lord, confess where I'm at and where I'm not, and I need to receive peace. I'm walking, enjoying the joy and the peace and love of the Lord, and the joy is gone. I just have, like a pastor called me the other day, said, I just got a case of the sads. I said, I got compassion for you. I want to tell you why you're sad. He said, okay. I said, because you're having sad thoughts. Sad thinking, sad emoting. Glad thinking, and on Jesus, glad emoting. You can't operate on two channels. But it's a matter of seeking the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, you wake up one morning and somebody frowns at you. Somebody gives you a sign in traffic that ain't waving. And you know what? You feel a little rejected, maybe a little mad. You don't feel loved at the moment. Disrespected. Let me announce something to you. If you're not feeling loved, that's a lie. Because Jesus loves you completely. He loves you so much. Listen to this. He loves you so much that He's pleased with you. You say, you don't understand what I did yesterday. No, I understand what Jesus says. Because He says that He loves us with the same love the Father loved Him. You know what Father said to Jesus? You're my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is the power of the blood. He not only loves you, He's well pleased with you. When you start coming to Him, hey, listen, He's not frowning, He's smiling. Because you're His son, you're His daughter, that Jesus has paid the price, took all the sin penalty, the wrath of God on Himself, that He can be pleased with you. Because He sees the righteousness of Christ in us, not our mess. Now, if we don't believe that, we're sure not going to run to Him. We're going to run away from Him. Boy, that's why we don't know where some people are today. FBI can't find them. But if we freely admit that we have sinned and confessed our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. That means to dismiss the lawlessness, the effect of sin, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because this is His heart, this is His goal, this is His journey, that as we walk with Him, the freer we get, more like Him we become. It's transformation, okay? Not just in action, but in purpose and in thought. Now, here's the thing about the word confess. Because some people say, well, if we don't confess it, it ain't going to happen. Well, it's already happened on the cross. But I want to tell you what confessing does. It's you agreeing with God. That's what the word confess means, to agree with God. And so when it comes to sin, listen to me. When it comes to sin, you say with God. You say what God says. You're right, God. That's wrong. I'm wrong. You're right. You confess it to God. It's covered by the blood. It already was. You're just receiving the benefit of it. Because you're agreeing with God. That's not the only thing you confess, is your sin. You also confess that you're forgiven. Because that's your position. You're forgiven. You don't have to do like I did growing up with a military dad. You don't have to run around for a week or so trying to do a bunch of good stuff and waiting for him to smile at you to make sure you're forgiven. That's not the way God operates. God don't operate that way. He's a great, great Father. I want to tell you, you're forgiven. And so part of your confession is, yes, that was sin. I'm wrong. You're right, Lord. I repent. I changed my mind on that. That's what repentance means. The other thing you confess is that I'm forgiven. You are forgiven. That's your position. So here it is. We're walking with the Lord, and there's this cloud of sin that comes over. Uh-oh. Man, that's wrong. Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. Lord, I confess that I am forgiven by Jesus. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me, washed away all my sin. I stand because of Jesus that I'm forgiven and I'm loved and I'm accepted in you. And we begin to walk with Jesus again. We don't have to run around in circles doing penance, trying to do enough spiritual good stuff in order to make God glad. He's already glad because of Jesus. The sooner we confess that and agree with that, the sooner we get to walk in His joy and His peace and His love. And that's what He wants you to continue to walk with Him, because He's got a lot of good for you. Do you see that picture? Okay, that's all I got time for. Let's take our communion elements, because we've referred to communion in this. And, oh my, my, my. Yeah, I didn't get to cover that. That looks good. This bread represents His body that was broken for you. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, none of them suffered. Did you know that? None of them suffered. Hey, the priests were professionals at taking that sharp instrument and just slicing that jugular vein, where that they just passed out. They immediately died without pain and suffering. Sacrifices didn't suffer. Jesus suffered for all of us. You know why? So that we could be restored. He took our suffering, our pain, our agony, every disease, every sickness, every heartbreak, every emotional disturbance, every done wrong song, He took it on Himself so that we can be restored. He paid the price. That's why Peter said, after all of this, and by His stripes we are healed. Why did you even put that in there, Peter? It wasn't in the subject. No, what he's saying is same price. Same price was paid. Forgiveness of sin, healing, restoration, provision, deliverance from every addiction. He paid the price. Let's receive of Him just by faith. Let's approach Him in humility right now and say, Lord, I need You. Lord Jesus, thank You. I need You. I receive You by grace through faith. I need You. And I thank You that You're the ultimate provision for everything I need right now. I trust You in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup. You see, this is the key. I'm telling you. Jesus said, remember Me. When you're taking communion, you make it about Him and not about you. If the people would have focused on their snake bites and on their pain, they would have missed. If they were to look at the bite and the pain, they would have missed. If they were to look up, because the serpent, bronze serpent, represents judgment. They look up and see that God has provided the judgment of that snake bite for your healing. Jesus has paid the price for the snake bites in life to be healed, to be covered. Lord Jesus, I thank You. Our focus is on You. Thank You for the power of Your blood that sets us free. Lord Jesus, we believe and receive in Your precious name. Let's give the Lord a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love you. Okay.